Well, I won't take up a whole lot of time tonight, but I did want to share just something that the Lord has been impressing upon my heart this week, and hopefully that'll be an encouragement to you. But it's already 8:20, so I won't. We won't preach for 45 minutes tonight. 40's
good.
All right. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read just a tremendous prayer that Paul has for the believers in Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 3. We'll begin reading in verse 14. And then we'll carry on. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Paul says, "For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." And we'll just ask the Lord's help before we begin. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we can gather here tonight. We thank you for this home. Lord, we thank you for the freedom we yet enjoy in this land, that we can gather freely, Lord, to sing praises to your name. And Lord, you are worthy to be praised. And Father, we thank you and we bless you, our God. And Father, as we come to this passage tonight, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, that you would teach us, Lord, that you would speak to us. Father, you know the need of each heart here tonight. I don't. Lord, we just pray that you would minister amongst us. Lord, we want to hear from you tonight. And so, Father, we just ask for your help now. We commit our time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a tremendous prayer that Paul has here for these believers. And, you know, right off the beginning here, as he begins this prayer, he says, "From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." And I was just thinking about that just in the context of our brothers and sisters here from Louisiana. And I know for myself, it's one thing that always amazes me as the Lord has given me opportunity to travel around the world and meet Christians in different countries. And, you know, just from that first moment, there's that instant bond as a family that we have. And it's such a wonderful thing. I mean, it's a tremendous thing to me. And I remember saying to Janet a couple of years ago when we were traveling through PEI at the time, and we were driving one day, and I said to her, you know, it's such a blessing to be a Christian in so many ways, you know, and just in this fact of here we are driving through this land, and we have so many dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you know, and the regular tourists, they don't know anybody, poor souls, you know, and we have so many dear friends everywhere, but you know, it's there's an instant bond because we're one in Christ. The whole family in heaven and earth is named through the Lord Jesus Christ, and we praise God for that. You know, it's a tremendous thing, and I love these little gatherings because they're just a little foretaste, and can you imagine what it's going to be like when we gather together as one family in all of heaven and earth, and we see the Lamb? It's going to be a tremendous, tremendous time. I can only imagine that. He would grant you, verse 16, that he would grant you, the Lord would grant you, according to the riches of his glory. That's an interesting phrase. We see that used a few times here. To be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. Paul wanted to see these believers strengthened, not physically per se, but spiritually, in the inner man through the Spirit of God. And this is according to the riches of God's glory. And we might ponder for a minute, well, what are the riches of God's glory? You know, what would that be? Well, they're quite immense. They're quite unlimited. They're quite infinite in that respect. The riches of God's glory is something that my mind can barely even begin to comprehend. I mean, his glory is infinite, the glory of God. And we see glimpses of the glory of God from time to time. As we were driving through the Highlands this morning, and Pierre has a little picture on his website about from the Highlands, from an aerial view, and it says, "All creation testifies." And sometimes we see the dramatic seascapes and landscapes of this earth and we think of the glory of God in creation, you know, the riches of his glory. But we think of the glory of God, I mean the Lord Jesus himself is the glory of God manifest in person. And it's according to God's riches and glory that we might be strengthened through his Spirit in the inner man. And the Lord wants us as his people to be strengthened in the inner man, to have that spiritual strength by the riches of his glory. And that's a very important thing for us as believers. And, you know, as we think about this prayer for just a few minutes tonight, perhaps we might think of how we pray for one another at times, you know. And, I mean, certainly there's nothing wrong when a brother or sister is not well or they're struggling with some physical ailment. Obviously, we pray for them. We pray for healing and we wait upon the Lord. But, you know, how often do I think of my brothers and sisters and pray that they might be strengthened in the inner man by the Spirit of God, you know. And as the Lord's people, you know, we want to be strong in spirit by His Spirit in the inner man. And that Christ may dwell in our hearts, verse 17. Through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, that Christ may dwell in our hearts. And it's an interesting phrase because obviously, as the Lord's children, as the Lord's people, Christ does reside in my heart by faith. Praise God. And yet, that's part of His prayer here, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And perhaps, there's a greater a sense of the presence of the Lord within us. There's a greater, you know, appreciation of all that we have in Christ, of all that we are in Christ. And I know certainly for myself at times, and Kyle spoke earlier about, you know, there comes a point in life sometimes when we start to get maybe more serious about the Lord than we once did, or we kind of, you know, get refocused on the Lord. And perhaps that's what Paul is driving at here, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That there's a real appreciation of that, you know, because if we're going to be strong in the inner man, then it's going to have to be rooted and grounded in Christ, of course, right? And that he might dwell there through faith, that we have that appreciation. Yeah.
Person making themselves at home.
Yeah.
Christ should be at home.
Right now.
Rather than maybe a guest in the home.
Yeah.
But not maybe not the best part of the guest.
Yeah. Right on.
He might dwell there.
Yeah.
That Christ is at home in my heart.
Amen. That's right. And then that we might be rooted and grounded in love. And obviously there's being grounded in the truth of God. That's also very true. But here the emphasis is on the love of God and appreciating the love that the Lord Jesus has for us. I mean, I remember hearing Alex speak tonight about how she struggled with her, you know, am I saved? Am I not saved? Have I done something bad today and I got knocked out of the park again? You know. And really, that's, you know, there's so much for us as believers, and we can struggle at times, and sometimes we feel, you know, well, we've gone too far, maybe, or perhaps the Lord doesn't really love me, and I've heard the testimony from other people, you know, that struggle with this concept, and, you know, we actually heard that last Sunday at the church in Margaree. A young man was over from PEI, and he was sharing, and how he struggled with this, and felt the Lord perhaps really didn't like him, and wanted to see him dead, and harm come to him. But we're to be rooted and grounded in the love of God and to understand, you know, those truths. And, you know, we could go to Romans 3, for example, and find many wonderful truths of the love of God for us. And I'm always, you know, blown away by the Lord Jesus' words when He says, you know, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. And, you know, how does the Father love the Son? Now think about that for just a few seconds. As the Father has loved me, the Lord Jesus says, and the Father loves the Son with perfect love, because the Son is always His delight, always does the things which please the Father, right? And we could use the expression, the apple of God's eye, the Son of God. And as the Father has loved me, the Lord Jesus says, so have I loved you, with that same love, a perfect love, a love which is based on His grace and His mercy, right? And the fact that in Christ, as we come to Him, though we are broken people, though we still have the inner man, though we still, you know, walk in the flesh, nonetheless, in Christ, we are complete in Him. And we have become the righteousness of God in Him, positionally in the Lord Jesus. And so the Lord has paid for our sin, and He loves us with an infinite love, and He says, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. We need to be rooted in that and grounded in that as the Lord's people. Because oftentimes things can come into our lives and we can be kind of taken off of that and we can falter a little bit and we can kind of start thinking that, well, maybe the Lord doesn't love me. But we're to be rooted and grounded in love. And then it goes on to say in verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all the saints together what's the width and the length and the depth and the height. You know, I mean, meditate on these things. I was just reading recently a book by A.W. Tozer, and he says, you know, sometimes I think if I don't meditate on a passage, you know, longer than I read it, I'm really missing the point. And sometimes, you know, we can read over these verses in Scripture and go, that's wonderful, praise God, and not give it much thought. But meditate on that, you know. Maybe able to comprehend together as the Lord's people with all the saints, what is the width and the length, the depth and the height. And just think on that for a while. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. These are the basis of being strengthened by His Spirit in the inner man, you see. To understand the love of Christ which passes knowledge. It's beyond it. Sometimes we wonder at the cross and we wonder how could it be. And we sing that in our hymns. And can it be that I should gain, right? I mean, an interest in the Savior's blood. Died He for me who caused His shame. And how can it be that the Lord Jesus would love me? Nonetheless, He did. And I don't understand all these things. When I think of my own self, I think, well, what is it within me? Well, nothing within me. But by God's grace, He loved me. And He gave Himself for me. And we're to know that love. It passes all knowledge. The love of our God towards you and towards me. While we were still enemies, Christ died for us. Before we were His children. At that moment of our weakest point, the Lord Jesus died for you and for me. He loved the unlovely. He loved those who did not love Him in return. And His love passes knowledge. We need to comprehend that together as the Lord's people. To be filled with all the fullness of God. The presence and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tremendous thing, beloved. And that's perhaps something we could meditate on tonight before we go to bed. To think on the love of the Lord Jesus to you and to me. It's a tremendous thing. And let that be a motivation to us as well. To share that with others. Filled with all the fullness of God. And everything that the Lord Jesus would have for us. And to do for us. And to be in us. And to allow the Spirit of God to have His way in our lives. And not to resist Him. You know, I shared with you my testimony a few months ago. How for many years I resisted. And I put up roadblocks. And I said, well, Lord, this far, but no farther. You know. And it's a blessed thing to allow the Lord to have His way. And as dear brother was sharing, right, to say, okay, Lord, from this point on, whatever you say, to be filled with the fullness of God. And I think, you know, the Lord would have us as His people to have that kind of heart before Him, one that's willing and ready and to be filled with the fullness of God and to move at His command. And verse 20 says, now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And you know, I must admit, sometimes I look at this verse and I think, one of the first thoughts that comes into my mind perhaps is maybe in terms of my finances or in terms of my job or in terms of some of the material things of life. And yet, you know, reading the whole context here of Ephesians 3 and everything that Paul talks about, it's more the work of the heart, right? And in the inner man. And, you know, even Paul himself would say earlier on in Ephesians chapter 3, like, how can it be that a guy like me, the chief of sinners, should be called upon by God to become a minister to the Gentiles and to share the unsearchable riches of Christ? Like, he recognized that the work of the Lord, you know, we know, of course, Paul's conversion was very dramatic, and the Lord met him in the way in a very powerful way that he could not mistake and called him, right? And Paul wasn't seeking the Lord. And Paul recognizes that was all of grace, and that he himself was not worthy of this calling. I mean, he persecuted the church. He committed people to death. He was standing by when Stephen was murdered for his faith, approving of that. And yet, by God's grace, he was called to reach people for the Lord. And he recognizes, says, how can this be, this grace upon me? And so I think of that in terms of verse 20, for you and for me. And you know, as our brother was sharing again, when he talked about, oh, the Lord, you know, took me and used me in my weak point, right? That's where the Lord said, I'm going to use you in your weaknesses. And I'm so encouraged by that. You know, for all of us as the Lord's people, whatever our weakness is, it's of no consequence to the Lord, you see. And sometimes we think, or we're led to think that we operate on our strengths or our gifts. Well, praise the Lord for strengths. And He gives us all different gifts and strengths in life. But the Lord says, right, that my power is made perfect in weakness. And so He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. Who am I, right? We might look at another brother or sister and say, well, you know, they're gifted and they're reaching people and they're doing things for the Lord and I just can't do that. Because I'm not like them. But you see, the Lord, you know, He's looking for a willing heart, you see. Filled with all the fullness of God. And He can use anyone, no matter what the weakness, no matter what the circumstance, to do great things in the Lord's name. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so we might think of this verse in terms of our ministry and our service for the Lord ourselves as individuals, right? Well, I couldn't do that. Well, sure you can by God's grace. Surely you can, right? As led by the Spirit of God, as filled by the Spirit of God. He can use weak things, broken things, and Paul talks about that, right? The things of the world that are despised, God uses to confound the things that are wise, to confound the things that are. And so he uses people like us, who in and of ourselves would not be able to do anything. Of course, praise God, it's his work, but he can do abundantly above whatever we ask or think. And so don't think for a moment that you're beyond service to the Lord. Don't think for a moment that we're, you know, washed up to the point that we can't do something for Christ. Of course we can, by his grace and by his spirit. He can do abundantly. But of course, obviously, it does apply to I believe, every aspect of our life. And we do think of the, you know, the things of life, the necessities of life. And, you know, there are needs in life. And as we think about whether it's, you know, the building fund for the building in Shetty Camp, you know, that's been a tremendous answer to prayer and the Lord's provision for those things, right? Or the needs that the Lord meets us in our life. Of course, he can do anything. You know, our God has unlimited resources and he can provide for us in ways that we can't possibly understand. And even though it may seem impossible for us as the Lord's people to advance, the Lord can act, the Lord can work, you know. And I have a brother who's in Mississippi, not quite as far south as Louisiana, and, you know, he's an evangelist down there, and he always, one of his favorite expressions is, and, you know, I got to admit, like, you know, as I've heard him share this, you know, you kind of go, well, yeah, I believe that, but his favorite expression is, he says, when we are out of money, praise God. Because from this moment on, it will be God. We no longer have strength, we no longer have the ability, and we are going to see the Lord work from this point on, and he will get all the glory. And so, you know, he can do all things, praise the Lord. In our hearts, in our lives, he can use us in tremendous ways and do things through us that we could never do ourselves. He can provide for us, whether it's finances, jobs, housing, whatever it is. The Lord knows our needs, and he can do above all that we ask or think. Because it says in verse 20, it's according to the power that works in us. That same power, you see, the power of the Spirit of God who's at work in us. And, you know, I love to hear the testimony time because it reminds us of this power of God to transform lives. And that's really, you know, what's going on here, right? And yes, you know, I could sit here tonight and have a pity party about how, you know, all of my faults in life. And that's very true. Nonetheless, the Lord has transformed me. He's given me new life, and for all of us, right? As we have known the Lord and have trusted in him. That power is at work in us today, transforming people, saving people out of darkness, taking them from that kingdom and putting them in the kingdom of his Son. He's at work in our hearts to draw us near to him, to conform us to his image, to change us day by day, to grow us, and to answer this prayer that Paul's talking about. That same power is at work in us as the Lord's people. We need to be encouraged by that and to understand that the Lord is at work and to allow him to do that perfect work in us. That same power is at work in us already. And then I love the way he finishes this little prayer in verse 21. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. It's all about the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And all these things that he's doing, whether he's allowing us to be strengthened in the inner man, he's grounding us in his love, he's allowing us to comprehend about the width and the length, the depth, the height, to be filled with his fullness, to do exceedingly in our lives, is to the glory of his name, because it's all his work, you see. It's all his work. And he is to have glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And sometimes, you know, even as the Lord's people, sometimes perhaps we can get a little off of that and maybe not give the Lord Jesus the glory that he deserves. And sometimes I can become, you know, my head can start to swell a little bit and, you know, the pride can enter in and I can think, well, I guess I'm pretty good after all, you know. But, you know, it's the Lord's work. It always is. You know, whatever we are today in this room, whatever maturity level we are at in the Lord, whatever gifts that we have, whatever ministry that we, you know, are exercising, it's all by God's grace. It's all his work. It's all his doing. It's not of us. It's only, we are only used of the Lord as we submit to him. And, you know, the amazing thing is that even though it is the Lord who saved me, who changed me, who gifted me, who did all the work anyway, he still says that in a coming day he's going to reward me for that. I don't understand that. That's the tremendous grace of God, that in a coming day he has a reward for you and I, even though he did everything. Praise the Lord, right? To him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And we will give him glory for all of eternity. And that's going to be a wonderful privilege. And we should take every opportunity in this life to give him the glory as well.